What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, back in your life. It's May 18th, 2021, episode 141. Ben the Breaker of Banksters here with my co-host, Future Dan. How you doing there, sir?
Yeah, good. Do you have threat indicator fatigue?
Threat indicator fatigue? No, I never do, to be honest, because I feel like the shoe's always about to drop, so I'm hyper alert.
Yeah, I want to see what's happening right now at all times. It's pretty mild, relatively speaking. Tonight, but all new topics are heating up compared to last week, with the exception the economic. I'll backtrack there. Economic, same story in a lot of indicators, but in the other three columns of the heat map, pretty much new stuff emerging. Stuff that used to be hot reheating. So I'm looking forward to getting right into it and having our weekly discussion.
Absolutely, and for those that are new to the show. We're only listening to a couple. You're not sure exactly what's going on. FutureDanger.com is the spine, the backbone of the show. In the second segment, we always have the news blitz to review, you know, between 20 to even upwards of 40 plus headlines of the week. So, FutureDanger.com. And while we're plugging, go ahead and bookmark PrepperBroadcasting.com. Check out all the shows, subscribe, etc., etc. Man, like you said, there's just so much going on that, number one, I don't get bored of it.
Yeah.
But number two, if you miss 1 week of following the news or 1 week of Patriot Power Hour, right, you miss, like, entire topics, entire news cycles that might have lasted weeks or even months are only going days or practically hours. So that means that's good for us. We have tons of content fresh every single week, but it's also kind of overwhelming, like there's just so much going on.
Yeah, and it's not censored. We're reporting on different articles and different perspectives that are blanked out almost everywhere else.
Absolutely. And while there are mainstream media sites that are used, there's a wide variety of sources on Future Danger that really does bring it all together. And that's what I think, you know, I'd like to thank you for putting so much work into this because it helps our show immensely and helps me get my thoughts together. And you do a big bulk of the work for the show in that regard. So
we're running on, like, how much show prep would you say weekly? Less than the other hosts of this network, that's for sure.
That's the thing. I feel like our show prep is a slow burn. It's like every day we talk about different things amongst ourselves on chat or, you know, text message, etc. And each of us are doing our own research throughout the week, and then we kind of come together once a week to exchange information. Obviously, I kind of tend towards economic, financial aspects. You're a lot more on, well, pretty much everything else. I think you're the expert on it, seems like. But I put in day of the show, 1 hour of show prep, or even less today. Honestly, less. Because I've been out of town. But
us together about what the agenda is going to be, what we're going to talk about, that's probably 5 minutes.
Oh, in terms of like planning out our show in a script. No script here, people. Hell no.
No, it's a live show.
Yeah, I'll spend like an hour of the day over reading the news and thinking about it, and maybe an hour a day, every single day, doing that, and once a week, come on here and speak about it. But like you said, this is, not, I'm not going to say off the cuff, because we do research, and we do know what we're talking about, and we have ideas we want to talk about. But in terms of coordinating it, there's almost no coordination between you and I on purpose.
There's a little bit of chaos there.
We like to harness the chaos, even though it can be a little sloppy sometimes. But I think we've also had some of our best shows with topics we didn't even know we were going to get into.
Yeah. Unlike our fellow hosts on this network who invest a lot of time getting ready, because they're bringing you the how-tos and just method and practice of preparedness. They have to research deeply to get a good show out, whereas we're kind of just benefiting from paying close attention to the news to have something to talk about, and hopefully it's complimentary. And again, grateful to be on the network and part of the team, and there's a lot of great information here. So, yeah, that's our second plug. Now, it may begin to be apparent that we have such disorganization that we don't really have a lead topic tonight, or do we?
I have a lead topic, as always.
Yeah, rescue this.
No, I'm just joking. I actually do not. I mean, I do. One thing that's a top of mind is kind of the, not conclusion of the pipeline hack, but how
continuing
crazy it got, and then kind of how it's resolved, but has it really? And the and obviously it's a regional topic at this point, and without giving too much away, I did some traveling over the weekend, and generally speaking, there's a lot of gas in a lot of places.
You saw no shortages.
Well, I did, but it was pretty darn close to the Atlantic Ocean. Let's say that. Okay. So if you're close to the Atlantic Ocean,
well, that's where the pipeline.
Exactly.
Runs, yeah.
So yes, there's a lot of people there, but I literally went. I went 1 hour away from where I live, and there's pretty much no gas where I live. But 1 hour away, no lines, unlimited gas. So this wasn't a true disaster in that regard. But the way it hit everybody, so, I mean, if you weren't already awake from COVID and the crazy hoarding that happened then, look what happened with the gasoline. Like, you need to have a preparedness plan in place. And maybe that's what the other hosts, that's where they come in. We try to give you the chaos. They can give you some of the answers and plans from their expertise.
So it's been written about now a week later since we talked about it last week, but this pipeline already has manual periods where big sections are manually operated because they had stems everywhere, right? They're stemming off this thing so that they don't have to truck it, you know, the gasoline. So every time that happens, it's manually operated. So it wasn't the end of the world that it was down. It was the fact that it was a cyber attack that successfully did it. Since we aired, the ransom was paid, and tonight Colonial Pipeline servers are experiencing intermittent disruptions days after paying off the ransomware attack. Certainly, if you want more of something, you pay for it. And I'm not sure if they had a choice, but tearing out your infrastructure and replacing the industrial controls from the ground up, I don't know what the shortage of gas would have been, but it might have been a better idea than paying off a ransomware that only encourages more.
I think the repercussions from this, though, will not be regional. And there's a couple reasons why. Number one, I think this can be, you know, lemons turned into lemonade. Number one, so maybe some preppers that were on the fence, right, will get a little more serious about this sort of event, not just the gasoline, but just supply chain in general. But also, and this might be the first time Patriot Power Hour, I actually may be giving a little bit of credit to the government and intelligence community. Hopefully, they see this as, oh my God, if this happened throughout the entire country, it could have been apocalyptic. You know, if there was a coordinated attack that took out two or three or four of these pipelines or other
services.
See,
that's where I don't know. You can operate them still manually. The efficiencies there, so what it would do is put a hefty tax on the economy with the, just a, you know, a spike in gas prices because of supply and demand.
What I'm saying is I'm hoping the government got a reality check that this is a true threat, and this is almost like the military attack, and they need to double down on the cyber defense.
Oh, it's a military attack. Cyberspace is a domain of military warfare. It's an act of war.
And I really hope that they are taking it that seriously, and they should freaking be. And we kind of got lucky that this was only limited to what it was. And it's screwed up a lot of things, and it's going to cause billions upon billions, if not upward of $1 trillion in economic damage.
So to put it in perspective, though, knowing that, you know, parts of that pipeline are operated manually and can continue to flow fuel, albeit at a lesser rate, but it's not shut off, combined with awareness of that happening last Tuesday, right? It was when the gas panic began on the East Coast.
Right, on our show, right? When it started, we were like, oh, man.
Actually, hosts on this show on our internal channel were talking about it hours that day ahead of time. It was coming out. It was coming out, right? Just being ahead of that, hitting the gas station and knowing a week from now there'll be gas again is perhaps a smarter way to prep than just, ooh, something might be happening, stockpile.
Well, that's a little plug. Another plug, a third. We'll make three in charm, and we'll leave it at that. I learned from a DAC, I believe, from Dave Jones, if I recall, but definitely from PBN. It was when I first learned of this pipeline attack. And the first thing that went through my mind is, oh, man, I need to go top off my fuel tanks.
Jones was talking about dropping Hellfire missiles on him this time last week.
There you go. So that's when I first heard of it, and maybe even before. I think it was even before then. Long story short, I was way ahead of these gas runs. Like, I mean, I was 24 plus hours ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Now, I already had all my gas topped off and all my fuel tanks full, so I didn't even need to freaking do it. But what I'm saying is the zombies, the people that panic and hoard,
they're coming.
They're coming hard, but they're slow.
And get ahead
of
them.
You can get ahead of them.
Yeah.
You still got to be in the top 10% of people that move, but if you're listening to PBN, you're already in the top 10% of people interested in being prepared. So double down and have that information flow, whether it's our show or others on the network or whatever other sources you use. It's great. But you also got to know when it's time to go. And this was an example where I was like, oh, man, I really need to go out there and get as much gas as I can. I'm already topped off. But, man, when the hoarders came about 24 hours later, I was like, oh, man, this is more than I expected.
Well, we had that talk. Hoarding versus prepping.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe they were just prepping, right? To them, they were prepping because they heard on the radio that, it really got media hype too, right? So helicopters were flying over areas alternating between Sam's Clubs and Costco's in the late evening hours trying to get the best, biggest line shot so it could be at the 10 o'clock news only to promote more of this, right? It was a panic. We had a national panic on the East Coast about a gas shortage that really wasn't, but a ransomware paid that really was. That, to me, is the longer-term danger.
And I really feel like you and I could talk about this for another 45 minutes straight, but we got many other topics.
We're not going to do that.
We got several topics to talk about. We got dozens of headlines to review. I even got some listener mail to review maybe in the fourth quarter.
Sweet.
So guys and gals out there, please stick with us. We'll be back with that news blitz. We'll be back with some more analysis and support our sponsors. That's all I got to say about that. PrepperBroadcasting.com. Patriot Power Hour. Be right back.
Emily's journey through the collapse. Again, The Prepper by Carl A.D. Brown.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, we're back. Folks, I apologize. Had some tech issues here. We're not going to blame some nefarious three-letter agency. Not saying they didn't knock us offline, but probably just tech issues. Whatever. We are back. Part 2 of episode 141 on this Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. Patriot Power Hour. Future Dan, we might have lost some of the audio. We were kicking some ass, I thought. Whatever. We still got some time. What do you want to hit on right now?
We don't even know what we missed. Like, we don't know where... We saw that it went 27 minutes for part one, but it was no volume for a big piece of it. So we may not have a news blitz for everyone tonight because we just did it and it might not have gotten recorded. Check out the website. We're just going to continue to talk about other things that are up on it tonight for the rest of the show.
For sure, for sure. I know for a fact in the first segment and the first set of commercials, we were at 100%. Sometime during the news blitz or just at the start, it was wonky. Whatever. From what I see now, though, we're coming in loud and clear. So
the update is, though, there's nothing historic happening tonight. So we would have to try that again if there were. But that's not the case. It's pretty, you know, run-of-the-mill pre-crisis indicator news.
And run-of-the-mill. Now, you and I both have a high tolerance for news and craziness. So
shouldn't all of us
in that regard, out? I understand. Yeah, everyone.
Were you alive last year?
But I'm telling you, a lot of these things are not, in my opinion, run-of-the-mill. One thing I know for a fact we didn't get a chance to talk about was the vaccines. And I went on a little rant without me going too much deeper into it. Let me just say that
we're
going
to do it again. Okay.
That the pant that that the human race took a real nasty blow from not just COVID, but the vaccine. However, people are waking up. People are fighting back. And if you're awake, you're getting more awake. If you're asleep, you're probably getting more asleep. But I do want to talk about the pan coronavirus.
Tell me about the pan coronavirus that you were telling me about before when we mysteriously lost air and where you first heard it and who was telling you about the pan coronavirus. And honestly, I haven't heard of this yet.
All right. So I never watch mainstream media except at an airport, right? Or like
a public
place. Right. So, or if it's like a source from you, I'll give you that. But what I'm saying is CNN, I watch less than 10 minutes a week. All right.
If you're unlucky.
If I'm lucky. If I'm unlucky, I watch more, actually. Let's just say it that way. Anyway. Last week was an outlier because I went to go visit family, and unfortunately, they watch a lot of mainstream media, in particular CNN. So I just so happened at the exact right time watch CNN when Fauci and the director of the CDC came out and said no more masks for the fully vaccinated. I think it was last Thursday, okay? It was pretty big news. Everyone's celebrating. Here's where it got surreal for me, and probably a large percentage didn't even pick up on this. It was almost subliminal, and we'll talk about that in a second. But when they were giving you the great news, you did it. You got vaccinated. No more masks for you. At the same time, they had a PowerPoint presentation going on about the pan-coronavirus vaccine.
The vaccine to end all vaccines.
And in this PowerPoint, and on the last slide in particular, there was a diagram. It simply showed nanoparticles. Okay? Nanoparticles in the vaccine will bind to your receptors, make the antibodies for all, not just SARS-CoV-2 or, you know, and all the different variants. We're talking even about the common cold that they're lumping into this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a coronavirus. So it's not just COVID-19 or a couple of the mutations. They're saying it could knock out everything based on coronavirus. It's coming your way. They didn't give a date. They didn't really give much more information. That's why I consider it kind of subliminal. They just put it out there as a graphic, talked to it a little bit, but not really. But bold face right there. It said pan coronavirus, nanoparticles, man-made, and it listed all the different types of coronavirus it would prevent. So there's that kind of that carrot in a stick. You know, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. You should get everyone to get vaccinated. You know, congratulations. By the way, we're working on this pan coronavirus. You'll probably have to get a booster every year. It uses nanoparticles. Man, I guarantee at the same time, a bunch of folks, if you said, they're coming out with a nanoparticle vaccine, they would call you conspiracy theorists right this second.
Yeah.
There's nanoparticles. There's no such thing. Oh, okay. I mean, that's the type of cognitive dissonance we're dealing with here.
It was on a CDC slide, Slick.
Literally. I was looking at this surreal. I was like, oh my God. Is this
on CNN?
And I haven't really heard of anybody talk about this. Now, I'm sure people noticed it. I'm sure on Twitter, if I did some research, people were freaking out. I'm not the only one. But I swear, it almost seems like a dream. Maybe I need to go validate that it was real. More of a nightmare. Literally, pan coronavirus. Like, in development, nanoparticle, like the most basic elementary diagram. But it was like, here's the ball. This represents your cell. Here's the little nanoparticles that surround it. And then the antibodies come out. Hooray. Crazy, man.
I suppose it's an mRNA, messenger RNA vaccine, the pan coronavirus vaccine. Am I right?
I think it's a new level. I don't even know if it's mRNA. I mean, maybe it's a form of that, but it seemed, and again, they didn't talk too much about it, and I didn't follow up, and I really need to, actually, now that I'm thinking about it more. But
maybe it's bogus. Maybe they're just bluffing. They can't do
it. It could be.
They can't make a vaccine that can stop everything.
Well, I don't believe that they could either. But
I don't think they can make them effectively for any respiratory disease because they mutate too fast. We're going to be chasing boosters the rest of your life. Let's just say for a moment that no adverse vaccine effects will ever be exposed in a large way. Let's just start there with the discussion. Even so, are the goal of vaccinating against these things and does everybody forget that the flu shot would have years when it was like way less than 50% effective? Why do we think that changed?
And they didn't talk too much detail about that, but I feel like the answer to you will be it's nanoparticles. It's a whole new level. And the COVID vaccine was the first stage in this mRNA, but we got new levels of technology we're bringing to bear that could not just hit COVID-19, but hit them all. That's what they're insinuating. But again, it was almost subliminal that they were just saying, hey, by the way, something's coming. It's got nanoparticles. It'll work, but don't worry about that now. You got your masks off now.
You know where you can go?
They left it at that.
You know where you can go to really, you know, have a pretty good idea where the state of the art of this is?
What's that?
DARPA, Defense Agency Research Project Agency.
Oh, yeah.
Advanced Research Project Agency. Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. DARPA. They put out solicitations for advanced technology that might have warfighting applicability. And the huge portions of those solicitations are biomedical, right? All the defenses for this stuff have been well thought out for a long, long time. At Fort Detrick, you know, would be the institution that would put into effect some of the basic science that they've solicited for years. And oftentimes those awards are public knowledge because they're not classified. What happens later becomes classified perhaps, but the basic research that they paid for, that's open public information. Mm-hmm. If you really want to get smart on this stuff, that stuff's out in the open and can be understood. Is, you know, a pan-coronavirus something that is feasible? Well, I'll tell you what. Fauci didn't think of it and put it on a slide. Like there's people aiming to try to do something like that probably for a long, long time. And it goes right back to the roots of, you know, biowarfare defense. The Soviets did this with all kinds of pathogens, right? Anthrax. We've been studying how to defend against it for decades.
So I think this is just continuing to develop. It's something I had a long car ride to and from where my family's at. So listen to a lot of podcasts with regard to this. And like you said, there's a lot of evidence out there and I don't have the studies in front of me to cite, but they're absolutely, I think I even heard them talking about DARPA. Literally 10 years ago, there was a DARPA project, with regard to bioweapon defense and all that stuff. I've done the equivalent for AI and even like robot killing machines, but they're out there. That stuff is pretty transparent if you look.
Part of DARPA's mission is just throw money at any idea that seems reasonable, get a white paper, research paper out of it, read that, see if it, you know, check with other scientists. Do these guys know what they're talking about? And some of them get the green light, get the funding, and they become things. Right? Stealth technology. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really? Like, the first 8 Air Force bases that were actually cabled together to send anything over computers in the 1950s, that was...
Right. Absolutely. That's where I first heard of DARPA was the Metal Gear Solid video game when they're talking about ARPANET, and then they talk about DARPA, and I was like 11 years old. I'm like, I have no idea what the hell this means, but it has something to do with military technology. And obviously, I went down the rabbit hole thereafter. Super interesting. I think we'll leave it at that for vaccinations this week. Don't worry, we'll be covering it more. But I have a few other articles I really got to hit on and other topics. We only got like 10 minutes left after the end of the show. But guys, stick with us. We're going to go to break. PrepperBroadcasting.com.
You may have noticed the traditional media disguises and conceals the truth. Even when the truth is not being hidden, your attention is being misdirected. You're focused on some things to distract you from others. Future Danger assembles the key liberty, security, economic, and natural news of the day, sourcing from both mainstream and alternative media. What's more important to a prepper than knowledge? Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. FutureDanger.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, episode 141.5. If you're listening on the archive, we're going to end up stitching them together, I believe. But if you're listening live or in the near archive, meaning in the next few hours, there will be 2 episodes. What can I say? A little bit of tech issues. But let's not dwell on it. Exactly. And by the magic of editing, again, for most of our listeners who listen in the archive, they won't even notice. So how about we just pretend it never happened? All right. With only about 10 minutes to go before we make way for Next Generation, who, by the way, has been kicking ass. Like, every single episode that they've been doing has been intriguing. And there was a couple I've missed, but I'm still waiting to get to, including, like, what was it? Survival, like the best survival stories and the boomerang. I want to check out the boomerang episode. I have that in my queue. But anyway, we only got a few minutes. Check them out after us, of course. But I wanted to hit on a couple more of these articles before we get out of here. I mean, there's so many though. I will start with the IRS cash for children flowing to 39 million households. Have you seen how much money is coming? On one hand, I'm like, great, the children need to be saved. On the other hand, I'm like, are we ever going to stop this? Do you remember back in 2008 when quantitative easing was supposed to be emergency and only last a few months? Do you remember when 0% interest rates were just for a couple of years? Do you remember when stimulus payment was only one of them or two of them or three of them? Well, we're coming up on 4. Now we're coming into monthly child payments. Are they ever going to end? And is this Cloward and Piven strategy just going to be unfettered and unchecked?
Cloward and Piven were professors, I believe, in the early 70s who said the way to bring about a welfare state, a.k.a. socialist state, is overwhelm it with programs and put people out of work and just taking the dole. And in 2020 and 2021, we're seeing the biggest push towards Cloward Piven strategy our country's ever faced. It's going to be hard to change.
It really will be. And in the short term, people are going to be so excited about it. But in the long term, it's so hard to prove to the people that get this free money that it's a bad thing. But there's so many reasons why, whether it's destroying the workforce and the incentive to work, whether it's raising prices, whether it's going into further debt, whether it's just destroying people's morale and turning them into welfare heads instead of trying to make a better life for themselves. I mean, there's so many. It's death by 1,000 cuts. And I don't, at least with the current administration, I almost wonder, you know, I don't make many predictions on here, but I'm going to make a prediction. They will not stop these stimulus programs until until or unless a Republican administration comes into the president. And even then, I don't even know if they'll be able to stop it.
Yeah, it's a direct attack on Anglo-American Protestant work ethic and everything that stemmed from it for centuries. It's upending it and probably killing it, making it a minority belief system for future generations.
Yeah, they'll pose it as a couple ways. Either you're a sucker for working, or you're an oppressor for still working and making decent money. So you're either going to be a sucker or an oppressor, or both, in a way. I mean, I feel like a sucker and a, quote, oppressor in their mind right
you
now.
You are scum Bolshevik if you say either of those things. That's what you are.
A scum neo-Bolshevik.
There you go.
We need to have another show about neo-Bolshevikism.
Again?
Yeah, it's been a while. It sure has evolved in the last couple of years.
It's coming at us, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the lieutenant colonel getting demoted, Air Force officer, yep. And he's in the Space Force.
I wanted to hit on that. You hit perfect. Let's transition.
Wrote a book about critical race theory being taught in the military and the fundamental premise of, you know, just anti-white, anti-traditional American culture-ism, you know, it's right before us. A lot of that popular stuff that we don't really dwell on Patriot Power Hour is upstream of us, right? It's everybody's talking about critical race theory in the schools, but it's there right now. It's indoctrinating students, no doubt. But the effects of it long term show up in the security and economic columns big time.
Yeah. Oh, it's so hard to quantify and really trace it. And that's part of the reason they act in this way, kind of slowly but surely convert you. Before you know it, you're a socialist country. There's no turning back, and the people don't even realize that it's bad anymore. They actually want to be, you know, in these chains of government welfare. So it's really bad. It's insidious. It's slow acting, but we're actually deep into it. I mean, it's very fair to say that FDR kicked this off, but I mean, it's moving quicker and quicker and quicker.
Even the stimulus payments, these child credits. Go back to the heat map and you'll see the economic impacts are with us right now. Prices of grocery and gas rising, right? We got all kinds of inflation indicators up 1.7% in the past quarter. And I bet you next quarter's read will be higher than 1.7%.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you keep printing monopoly money and flooding it. Everything has to cost more. The dollars chase goods and services, right? You just hand out cash for children to 39 million households. Everything's going to cost more.
It absolutely has to. And we haven't even seen the beginning of inflation, in my opinion. People that definitely don't listen to this show, but don't even know that I have a show or am interested in this type of stuff, have been telling me, like at work, for example, where I certainly don't tell anybody about this, have been mentioning how prices are going up, and these are pretty wealthy to-do people. What about the poorer people in the working class or the people that are down on their luck? I mean, if you make six figures, it's one thing if food goes up in price. If you're barely subsisting, I mean, that's a big problem. So it's a double-edged sword where I don't want kids whose parents are screw-ups and can't afford decent food for them. I don't want them to suffer. But that is so easily turned into a leverage point and such a slippery slope to implement this Cloward and Piven strategy in socialism. Do it for the children. And this is what they're hitting hard. It's, IRS cash for children. What? This is like Toys for Tots, but from the IRS, huh?
Cash for clunkers. Biden bucks.
And all this money is not, I mean, and to come full circle with this, they're talking about raising taxes, but even if they do raise taxes massively, it's not even come close to funding the current budget deficit, let alone adding all of this on top forevermore. So what does that mean? In my opinion, the inflation and the collapse there hasn't even started. But you got to remember, sometimes what's worse than a price going up, there not even being a price because it's unavailable. That's Inflation is one part of it, but shortages and just not even shortages, just not existing. You no longer can get this product anywhere.
How do you feel about your crypto tonight?
I am buying, but it is taking a beat down recently. If you want to finish on that, I love it. I did want to talk about it. Of course, let's just talk about Bitcoin for now. At this time last year, Bitcoin was about $10,000, okay? It peaked out at about $60,000. That's a six-fold increase back about a month ago, March into April. However, in the last week or so, it's dropped from mid-50s down to, as we speak right now, $42,000. So, Bitcoin up by a factor of four compared to this time last year. However, if you bought in at the top, you went from 60K to 40K real quick. I've been talking about this show, well, since even before we came on PBN, but in the last few months specifically, if you want to get in on a Bitcoin, don't pay 55 or 60 grand. Get your money into an exchange. Get ready to buy it at 45, 40, 35 grand. And if you listen to that, you're probably pretty happy price is going down. If you love Bitcoin at 60 grand or 50 grand, you should really like it at 40 grand or 30 grand. That's what I got to say. I won't get too much deeper into that, but
because the working theory on this show, based on the example of March 2020, is when a lot of speculators have to cover their shorts, cover their positions when the stock market inevitably comes down again. The price of Bitcoin is going to plummet because they have to liquidate those holdings. But can it ever really stay down with this much inflation? So yeah, great advice. That's how we're approaching it right now.
Yeah.
May 18th, 2021. See if it makes sense a year from now.
Yeah, it's definitely a wild ride, but this was not my first rodeo on crypto. So if you are new to the Bitcoin crypto sphere and maybe you're underwater a little bit, hey, first off, maybe you want to double down. Number two, hold tight. I think it's going to bounce back. So anyway, we'll see what happens. I also agree. I think great point. What we saw and what I expect, I do, gosh darn it, I expect there to be another stock market collapse freaking sooner than later. They're keeping it going longer than I thought. But when that happens, I expect massive discount on all assets. But then what will go back up, if anything? That's the question.
HODL.
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 Diamond hands.
Hold.
All right. Well, you know, that got me fired up. Good way to end the show. We got to get out of here, though, folks. Patriot Power Hour coming to a close. Future Dan.
A few more weeks of this season. We'll be going through the rest of May. In about a month from now, at the Equinox, we'll take a break. Between here and there, it does seem like news is heating up, Ben. Good show.
Great show, as always, sir. Making way for next generation right now. PrepperBroadcasting.com. 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 Go there. Sign up for the continuity. Catch you guys later. Patriot Power Hour signing.